to Coog with McCarthy in support on the inside. He takes the reverse pass and dashes 20 yards to touchdown between the posts.
Welcome to another edition of Rabbitohs Radio. My name is Grant Chappell. I'm joined by a very special guest today, one of the most popular South fans out there on all those social media pages, Brennan Tyliski. Welcome to Rabbitohs Radio, mate.
What's doing, chaps?
Nah, not too much, mate. Just licking our wounds after a pretty tough season all around for the Bunnies, Brenda.
Oh, mate, I've been licking me wounds for the last 7 or 8 weeks? I'm like a dog in an RSPCA shelter, mate.
Well, let's see. Look, I mean, we might have bottomed out here. You never know, mate. We'll see what happens. But on the show today, we're going to talk about the passing of one of the greatest South juniors of the last 50 years. We're going to recap that Storm game down there on Anzac Day. And we're going to get to a couple of signing rumours that are getting around just to try and cheer us up, us Bunny fans, mate. We're in the doldrums here. We're pretty depressed after that one. But anyway, there was some sad news last week. Terry Hill passed away, aged 51. Zetland Jr. He grew up around the Alexandria area, real popular. He was in a team in Zetland that was one of the best South Juniors teams of all time. Four of them made the New South Wales rep teams. You had Jimmy Dimmick, Daryl Trindle, and Peter Trevitt. Now, that's very rare for a junior rugby league team to have four rep players coming out of it. He played in the junior reps of the Bunny between 86 and 89. He made the under-15s merit side, so he must have been a fair player back then. And he came up to our under-21s team, and he was only 16 years of age, Brendan. That's how big and powerful this bloke. He played a lot of lock in his early days. He just had a big left-hand fan. He used to skip to the right-hand side and just burn him out there. He was some player, mate.
Well, mate, the greatest thing, and I obviously been a bit younger than yourself, I remember a lot of Terry's playing days professionally when he was at the Seagulls at Manly. But one thing that I really love, and yeah, I'm sort of reflecting on it now that he's passed, is his loyalty towards your podcast, obviously yourself as well, because you're linked up with Darren Brown, but just his love for Brownie's family and the podcast in general. And obviously that he never forgot where he came from. You know, you've heard him in a lot of interviews saying that he's a proud South man from Zetland. And, you know, the Rabbitohs have got his heart. And that's what we've got to remember, because I can remember I did a post on Terry Hill about being a former player and a terrific junior for this club. And a few people sort of got on there and associated him with Manly and thought that he may have done the dirty on our club. But that's not the case at all, mate. He went on and he had a terrific career as a professional athlete, and he never forgets his roots as a Rabbitoh, and he said after retirement, that he's a proud Rabbitoh and he's a South man from Zetland. And yeah, I'd just like to say to Terry Hill and all your family, anyone that's listening this that's connected with Terry, I'm very sorry to hear the news, because I reckon, without knowing him personally, Tezza was a great man and he was a South Sydney man, and I've got a lot of respect for him, mate.
Yeah, he's a very very generous man too. He's over in the Philippines raising some money at a charity event that he'd organised. He had Cement Gillespie over there, one of our Wharfie mates out there at Port Botany. Matty Madden, who's a local businessman around here. He's got a big cleaning business. And they're raising some money for a local orphanage, mate. And what can be more humble and generous than that, mate? Looking after young kids without parents. So, my thoughts and prayers go out. Look, he made his debut for the Bunnies round 1, 1990, off the bench, scored a try. I remember the try, but they've clipped it up and put it up in the last few days. Played 9 games for the Bunnies. It was 20-odd games in all our senior pathways teams. And he went on to, probably best known for his football over there at Manly, where he was a State of Origin player, played for the Kangaroos, one of the strongest, most powerful centres of the modern era, and the face of State of Origin there for a long time. The way he stood up to Gordon Tallis there, went nose to nose with him. That's an iconic moment in the greatest game of all, State of Origin. Now, I do a little bit of training with the boys down at the 400 Club. We've got a lot of former sportsmen and stuff like that, and one of them is Willie Manu, who I've mentioned on the show a few times now. He wrote a little message the other day on the group chat. He said, when I made my debut in 2001, it was with the West Tigers back then. He said, I was called into the squad as 18th man. It was on a Saturday. It was a Saturday game, and Tezza told me on a Tuesday, "Be ready. I'm going to pull out last minute so you can play, so you can make your debut." He said, "But have a surprised look on your face when Barbar tells you." He said, "What?" And he said, he said in brackets, he said, "What a legend. Rest in peace, Tezza." So Tezza was willing to pull out late so this young bloke can make his debut in the twilight of his career. Look, that's the sort of man that Terry was. Just, he loved everyone. We've spoken to him interviewing on Rabbitohs Radio many years ago, and he spoke about a good friend of mine from work and Brownies as well, a bloke I respect a lot, and their family, Gerald Simons, who played a couple of games for the Bunnies in the early 2000s. He grew up with him, considers him part of his family. They live next door. Terry Hill, we mentioned Gerald, and he said he watched all Gerald's games. He went out to his debut. I think it was against Parramatta from memory. I didn't look that up, but shout out to all his family and friends of Terry Hill, and may he rest in peace, and he'll never be forgotten, mate. One of the biggest characters in the game. I loved his work on the Footy Show. He was such a character, and took everything with a grain of salt. Him and Fatty Vorton used to be really, really funny on that show. He was good with his, the Greyhound Nads on the Footy Show. And it won plenty of races. He's involved in the races, and he finished up working very hard. He was a tireless worker out there at Flemington Markets. That's a tough existence. You got to get up at 2 or 3 in the morning, and it's like a madhouse. If anyone's been to Flemington out there, it's a very dangerous, all the forklifts flying around. But yeah, rest in peace, Tezza. Now, Brendo, you went down to the Anzac Day match between the Rabbitohs and the Storm. We were touched up there 54-20. Mate, just before we get to your experience down there, what about something that's been probably lost in the moment? First all time on the Rabbitohs, most capped players, as you know, 336 games by the legendary John Sutton. But Tom Burgess jumps into second position with 232. That one snuck up on us, mate. Took over from the great Adam Reynolds.
Yeah, mate, I think at the moment there's a lot of negativity around the club, and things like the performances Tom Burgess has put in for more than a decade with this club, and he's still putting in now, because I think he's been one of our better players this year, has sort of been a bit lost on us. And I'm a massive rut for Tom Burgess, and he's going to go down as one of the best front rowers that we've seen in the famous Cardinal and Myrtle chaps.
Yeah, well, he's been a powerhouse. He was the most talented out of the kids coming through, I believe. Obviously, Sam took over all them. George was a bit of a late bloomer, and we got George out first. I think it went Sam, George, Luke, then Tom, then Luke, wasn't it? In order like that. But yeah, he's outlasted them all. He's going to go down as one of the greatest clubmen, and he's so popular. Like if I go to training or whatever, and some of the fans are waiting in the coffee shop there at Heffron, they seem to gravitate to him more than any other player. I was there the other day, and they were getting the bus to the airport to go play the Storm game, and he was sitting there for ages after with his Down syndrome kid, and he just gave that family so much time. In the end, they were sort of saying, "Tommy, come on, mate, they're waiting for Tommy to get on the bus." This is the sort of bloke he is, you know. He's going to be missed on the field, but he's going to be missed off the field too from all these boys, and I hope all these boys, and I hope they can. Just somehow, I'm not sure what's going to happen in there. There's a lot of speculation. There's a board meeting on this week from all reports. Whatever happens, I hope the boys can turn the corner here somewhere and just put a bit of pride back in their performance. Defensively, the boys are just getting manhandled a bit down the middle. Obviously, we're beating there 30, 50, 4 points to 20. But there was moments in the game where we looked like we were going well. We're on top for a little period. I think it was 10-4. We'd had a mountain of possession down on their line. We'd only scored the one try. I think Cody kicked that ball dead. And then from then on in, I think it was like 9 or 10 minutes, we never actually touched the footy, and they put 4 tries on back to back to back to back. And it was, by the time you went to halftime, I had a headache by the time halftime came around, Brendan. But we'll get to your Anzac Day experience, mate.
Yeah, mate. Well, I was lucky enough. My brother Reagan Talitsky, he's works in the mines. He's quite high up with those guys, and when he goes out and he does things, he doesn't do things in halves, you know. And sometimes he's got to drag his postman brother along because I can't afford these things. And what he did for my dad's 60th was he got us an all-inclusive package up in the Fiji Airways corporate lounge. And I've got to say, I know it was a Melbourne Storm home game, but it was probably the best experience, or one of the best experiences, you know, regardless of the score, that I've ever had at a rugby league game. They really knew how to lay it on at this Fiji Airways lounge, chaps.
You've been to a lot of games over the years, Brendan, so that's a big call, mate.
Yeah, it was a big rap, mate. And obviously I've been to some fantastic, you know, things at the juniors, functions at the South Juniors and at a lot of stadiums all over Australia. But what happened there on Thursday in that Fiji Airways lounge, mate, I'm a real big rap for. It was just incredible, the food, the alcohol, mate. We got right into that, as you can imagine. And I had a guy there doing a little bit of live music, covers, songs and that inside the actual corporate lounge. And yeah, it was just incredible, mate. And all the Storm supporters, sponsors and everyone that was there were pretty welcoming, and they were up for a chat. And, you know, they were obviously saying that they hope the South Sydney Footy Club improve, and that we're one of the oldest and loudest and proudest clubs around. And, you know, they wish us all the best for the future, mate. So, yeah, just the people we were mingling with too, I'm also a big rap for, and it was just a terrific time down there.
Yeah, beautiful, Brendan. You were sending me the footage there from Anzac Day. I had a couple of beers. I was around the fire at home there, around me Rabbitohs radio, keg fire there with the family, and I was just knocking up a bit of a barbecue. But you were sending up some great footage and photos of the event. I thought the actual Anzac Day spectacular that they put on prior to the match, outstanding. That rivaled anything the Roosters did up here in Sydney. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, mate, that was incredible, the way they lit up the stadium with the logos of both South Sydney and Melbourne and the Indigenous theme as well, all lit up around the stadium, and obviously the last post as well. And it was just an incredible, incredible event, mate. Like I said, all my sort of passion for the red and green was just pumping through my veins watching that.
Yeah, I bet you were. And look, we'll get to the game. But the game was obviously, it finished up pretty one-sided there. By the time halftime came around, I think we were down 30. Was it 32-4 or something like that? But we jumped back in the second half and put a few points on there. I thought Cody Walker was back to his scheming best. But the play that summed up the whole game for me was their first try. I think we did pretty good on tackles 1 and 2. And tackles 3, the big winger there, Xavier Coates, had a hit up, pulled us apart a little bit, played the ball pretty quick. They got it up to Christian Welsh, who did a hit up, bounced off Cookie, bounced off Tom Burgess, passed it out the back. They just went 3 or 4 passes, and all of a sudden they had a 2-man overlap this early in the game, which was strange. They got down there, the boys scrambled, got him on the deck, quick play the ball again. They've kicked it out of dummy half, and it was Pappenhausen who scored. The only South player down there was little Jai Gray, who I thought was tried his guts out all game. But that pretty much summed up the whole game. We just could not. Once we lose that ruck, it's like any team, I guess. But once you lose the ruck, it's so hard to wrestle back momentum in a game these days. And they seem to be able to hold us down a lot longer than what we could hold them down and control the ruck. And that was the story of the match. They ran in 10 tries, Brendo, to 4. Look, we did well to score 4 tries, and congratulations to Dane Gagai's brother there, Jacob, with a double there. He scored 3 tries in 2 matches. I think surely he's won his spot in the side, mate.
Yeah, mate, I think Jacob Gagai was really, really good, obviously, with those two tries. And there was some good moments of brilliance by Cody Walker, sort of getting back to his 2021 form with some of those really nice cutout balls. And as I said, flashes of brilliance throughout the game. But, you know, yeah, 54 points against us, chaps, it's not good enough. And, yeah, I mean, at half time, I think we completed, it may have been 16 from 17, or it could have even been 17 from 17 we completed, and we were still blown off the park 32 points to 4.
Yeah, it was a bit frustrating there. I think Cookie started, Pete come on. Pete played well. I think he stayed out there too long. He got found out in defence a few times in that second half. Once the ruck speed, we lost the ruck speed there. They just, you know, it was a bit of a horror show at the end there. They seemed to be able to score at will. We're trying to avoid leaking 50 points, but it was always going to be a tough assignment there where they ran in a couple of tries in that final 10 minutes. But where the game was lost was from the 27th minute mark, they ran in four tries in 10 minutes. We never touched the ball once, and that was basically the game. You know, frustrating.
Yeah, that was where it was won and lost.
Look, the boys, there's some blokes there that can certainly hold their heads up high, and they tried their guts out. For me, the Ramos, brick by brick, hardest working player of the week, I thought it was Jai Gray, 196 metres. This bloke's only 78 kilos. He's like the size of Preston Campbell from many years ago. He's playing well above his weight. Every time he touched the ball in a set play, he looks dangerous. I think he had the 15 carry, 53 post-contact metres for a little man. Another couple of tackle breaks there. Look, he hasn't been able to score a try or be involved in a try-assist kind of thing, but I don't think that's too far away, mate. He had seven tackles, no misses. And there was one tackle he did one-on-one on Nelson Osofa-Solomona, about five out from the line, if you remember that one, Brendan, down low. It was a try-saver.
Yeah, I do, mate. He chopped him down, mate, like an arborist chopping down a big gum tree. It was incredible. And yeah, that little Jai Gray, mate, he's a bloke that sort of reminded me of going back sort of 20, 25 years ago when we were struggling with results. And I know that he's only played two games, but in the two games he's played, he's given absolutely everything for our club and our jersey. And after that display he showed and that touch-up there against Melbourne the other night, I don't normally do this very often, you know. I normally just sort of leave the stadium with my head down. But I walked down to the tunnel and I called the young bloke over. And he, you know, he's a great young fella. He come over and he said g'day to me, and I shook his hand and I actually said to him, mate, thanks so much for the effort you just showed for my club, for South Sydney, and, mate, just keep going. And, he's just a great young bloke, mate, and plays well above his weight, 78 kilos. I think he's only 168 centimetres. And there's a great saying in football. A good mate of mine, Mick Trembath, up here on the Central Coast, says it all the time. Not to let fear hold you back. Don't let fear hold you back. And I think Jai Gray, he lives by that saying, mate, because he's not scared of anybody. He didn't jump out of the way when Nelson Osofa-Solomona was running at him. The scoreline was 54-20, chaps. But the thing was, he still put his body in the front of the biggest bloke in the game. And that's where I think he's winning a lot of supporters and he's got a lot of fans, and there's plenty of people that want to see him in first grade long term, and I really hope that he stays there, mate.
Yeah, well, we had 42 missed tackles. Every single player on the team had a missed tackle bar Jai Gray and bench forward there, David Mwale. So you can understand how happy we are with what this bloke's putting out there. Look, our halves were obviously targeted on the edges. You could look, our edges are getting targeted a hell of a lot. We've got to certainly get better in that position between your halfback, your edge back row, and your centre, and your 5'8 on the opposite side. We're really getting touched up there. We've got to tighten that up as much as we can.
Oh, mate, you're dead right there.
The middles have got to try and dominate a little bit more. I mean, I know they're at training today. I popped down there today. Looks like there's a few little changes there. I think there's a few of them they pulled out of that New South Wales Cup side. So you think there could be a few changes coming up against the game against Penrith this week. And look, the boys won't throw the towel in. They'll keep continuing to fight and see how they go. But yeah, missed tackle wise, it wasn't pretty when you looked at their side. But look, there was guys on the other side. I've got to give a rap to a couple of blokes. I looked at the team sheet and I thought, oh, Sean Bloor, Alessia Katoa, Trent Liero, pretty inexperienced. Mate, they were outstanding, those back rowers there. They had eight offloads between them. That Sean Bloor and Katoa, we could not handle them. Every time they carted the ball up, they were able to get 2-3 in a tackle, get the arm free, get it out the back. And Melbourne Storm just click into gear. Once they get an offload, they've got runners outside, inside, blokes shape playing out the back. Lead runners, the wingers are pushing up really flat. They've got so many options when they do an offload. We really struggled to contain them. I think that's easily their best game of the season. And if you watch the press conferences there, you listen to Coach Craig Bellamy. He said that's the best game he's ever seen Munster play in a Storm jersey. I'm giving him a 10 out of 10 for that game. He had four try assists in that game. A couple of those kicks out to Coates in the first half were absolutely inch perfect. One of them he didn't even have time to think about. He just put it on the toe. That Crossfield one might have been the last one where he pulled his hammy there, the big fella Xavier Coates. And he spoke about his defence. He had come up with a couple of try savers, but his halfback partner, Jerome Hughes, came up with two or three one-on-one tackles that were try savers. One on Joy Gray, the other one on Cody Walker. Mate, what a halves pairing they are.
Yeah, mate, I think that Jerome Hughes, well, I don't think now, but a couple of years ago, he was probably the most underrated. I'd say he was probably the most underrated halfback in the competition a couple of years ago, but I don't think that's the case now. A lot of people are paying a lot of attention to Jerome Hughes, and he's a real good quality number seven. And just to back up what you were saying about the Melbourne Storm, and I noticed at the game, a lot of our attack was just very one out, very very pedestrian. But the thing is with Melbourne, the ball carrier has always got options. He's got blokes coming back on the inside. He's got blokes on the outside, blokes running really good lines. Like, as you said, that Sean Bloor that they picked up from the Tigers has now developed into one of the best back rowers in the game. And how many young guys has Craig Bellamy done this to, chaps? He's just the master of picking these guys up and turning them from fringe first graders into elite talent. He's done it for 20 years, mate.
Oh, he goes down as the – look, he's up – him and Wayne Bennett, they have no peers in the game. Look, what about a bloke like Joe Chan? I've never heard of the bloke. He was outstanding. Alec McDonald runs it hard. Tyron Wishart. I don't even know what his position is, Tyron Wishart. He was on the wing. He was in the centres. I think he jumped in at hooker. Like, he just comes in and does a job, you know. Jackson Garlick at stages last year and this year has had to come in and do a job. Josh King. Josh King's killing him at the moment. Right? Even Nick Meaney. He was a steal down from the Bulldogs. They were happy to let him go. He's come in. He goal kicks for him. He's played fullback. He plays in the wing. He played in the centres. He made a nice break against us to set up Warbrick on the outside. Mate, anyone that thinks they're going to go away, the Melbourne Storm, mate, good luck to you, mate. They're going to be there when the whips are cracking at the back end of the season. And they made it a pretty tough journey down there, as they always do, Melbourne, for us. So it was just one of those games, mate. We were never going to win the contest when it came to halftime. It was just such a big, big lead. We were well out of it.
Yeah, there's not too many games down there, even with a slight lead at halftime, that Melbourne had given up. But yeah, when that blew out to 32-4, chaps, unfortunately, was all over. And as I said to you before the game on Thursday, it's a place the Rabbits have never won. And I really hope I'm down there live one day when South do break that duck down there, because it's a stadium I really want to walk out of as a winner one day. It's we've had a really tough run down there, and
well,
I really hope, Brendan,
didn't you? You would have seen some tough losses down there.
Yeah, mate, I've seen a couple of losses in Golden Point, and I saw us get towed up 64-6 back in 2017. I think only a couple of weeks after that, Madge McGuire actually lost his job as head coach. That was a tough night down there, and yeah, it's a really, really hard place for the Rabbits to pick up a win. And yeah, it'll be a great day or night when we do pull it off down there, chaps.
Yeah, I've only been down there once, and it was 2012, and Dylan Farrell played fullback, if you remember that game. I think it was round two, or maybe been round one. It was round one or round two. It was early in the season, and in the under-20s, Georgie Burgess made his debut for the Bunnies against Melbourne in the under-20 system back then. And I was in the centres in the very next week.
Yes, I do remember that game. I'm pretty sure I was – Isaac Luke gave a really nice crash ball that night to big Sam Burgess, and Sam Burgess scored under the post. I'm pretty sure it was only a narrow loss, that one, but, yeah, nonetheless, we weren't able to get the money on that occasion down there either, chaps.
No, well, we went up and the rest is history, Joe. I went to fullback and had a field day back there, up there at the foot of the mountains. And he went on to be
wasn't he a player for this club, mate? And I still feel blessed to be able to say that I've seen Greg Inglis in his prime in a South Sydney jersey, mate. What an athlete and what a great rabbit OGI was, eh?
Oh, not too many blokes, they change the rules. Only you were talking about the 78-kilo little Jai Gray. Well, the greatest player to ever play for South Sydney was only in, I think he was only in the 60-something kilos. That was Clive Churchill. He's known as the Little Master. Probably the greatest player we've ever had. Captain Australia on a number of occasions, done it all at all levels of the game. Well, Jai Gray is very much in his mould, and GI is the opposite. He was a big, powerful thing. He changed the game when he hit that Dean Young there. He got rid of the shoulder charge after that. That was the end of it. He got shoulder contact at the head. It was accidental. He got pulled down from behind. He was some beast of a player. Anyway, that might be it for the Storm recap there, mate. Now, on a bit of a positive note, we're looking for something positive, the Bunnies, and there's been a report out there by News Limited that Lewis Dodd, the halfback from St Helens, he's played 42 games, he's only 22 years of age. He's on the verge of signing a three-year deal. Reports that Football Manager Mark Ellison's flown over to England to try and secure the deal. I've just come off night shift last night down at the docks, mate, and I was looking at a bit of the highlights of him. And, mate, he looks good. He reminds me a bit of Aiden Caesar style, left footer. He's not the smallest halfback. He's like a medium-sized guy. He can ball play. He's got good vision. He's really competitive. We've seen him come out here to the foot of the mountains and beat the almighty Penrith side with a field goal and extra time there to beat them 13-12. Yeah, some positive news there, Brendan, if that comes to fruition.
Yeah, mate, I think a quality number seven is what we're after, and probably a really good front rower to replace Tom Burgess for 2025 and probably some outside backs. But, yeah, mate, if we can get a good number seven which is able to unlock Cody's game again, I think that would be really, really good. And I'm pretty sure from memory that Lewis Dodd was the one that kicked the winning field goal in the World Club Challenge against Penrith.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, he looks good there. There's also reports they may be looking at a few other players over there. Look, there's also a few rumours. There's a few players in our top 30 being looked to be recruited by a few other teams. So there could be a little turnover of roster, and that's what happens when you're at the bottom of the table and you're losing a few games. They look to shake things up and try and turn the roster over. I don't think you'd have to turn that many players over at South to get a response out of this mob and get them back to where they need to be. So that'll be one to keep an eye on there, Brendo, over the next few weeks. Now, obviously, you're in place of the great Darren Brown. Brownie's gone over for a bit of vacation over there in Bali, him and his family. So, shout out to you, Brownie. Hope you're enjoying the warm waters of Bali. I know he's gone over. I know what he's like. He'll be over there training and doing ice baths and saunas, and he'll have a couple of bintangs in the afternoon on the beach. I think he's got a dentist appointment over there to shine up the pearly whites. So, yeah, shout out to you, Brownie, over there in Bali.
Yeah, DB, how you going, mate? It's good to fill in for you here, but I'll tell you what, geez, you and chaps get on some holidays, mate. I reckon you blokes do more flights than another great South fan, Anthony Albanese. Yous are always in the air, you and chaps, going somewhere.
The great man, Albo. Vote Labor. Anyway, no, I can't say that. But look, the Pathways, they're playing up at Newcastle today, at Newcastle Permanent Centre of Excellence, Newcastle. It's about 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, so we won't be able to give you a full update on that. I know that they pulled a few guys out of the Jersey flag side and put them up into New South Wales Cup and rested a few guys from Cup to obviously your Isaac Thompsons and stuff will come into calculations to play on Thursday night. Sean Kepi, Talas Duncans. They won't be playing reserve grade this week. But look, young Zane Ruglis, a friend of his father, he's making his debut in the flag there. And look, a little update there, Brendan. 16-4 we lead there. Zane Ruglis has scored a try. Aaron Macy, the really fleet-footed centre. And Jarvis Liafa, who impressed me against the Fijian side last week. So hopefully the boys can hang on there. They're normally pretty tough to beat. Newcastle up there, got a great junior system. That's midway through the second half. We've got a 12-point lead there.
Mate, let's hope the boys hold on. The 12-point lead, two converted tries. They should be able to go on with it from there. And I've heard you mention young Zane Ruglas a few times before and just about his toughness and tenacity, mate. Sorry, I should say. And let's hope he has a really good game.
Yep. I'm sure he will. He's a Maroubra boy. He was down there at the... We had our first comp at the Board Riders, North Maroubra Board Riders yesterday. We had a paddle out for a friend of ours, same as Terry Hill, same age, 51. Died of a couple of strokes last week. Fit surfer, Brazilian background. We had a paddle out with over 350 of our community. It was a beautiful day down there. It just made you feel proud to be a part of that community. And Zane was down there and with all his mates. Plenty of young boys from the Roosters too. Obviously, big Sato's a part of it, but he had to chuff off and go. He's coaching Southeastern, so he missed the finals. And look, one of the old blokes, Grant Chappell, come second, mate. Second in the Masters. So the comeback trail is not quite complete. I've got to get over the line there and get first. But, yeah, back on the podium, Brendo.
Well, there's only one thing Chaps does better than talk about the Rabbits, and that's with that bit of fiberglass under his feet, throwing a bit of spray around down at the bra. I tell you, he goes all right, doesn't he?
I wanted to celebrate, you know, put six schooners away at the Maroubra Hotel, but I couldn't. I had to go to work. I just snuck two little cans in. I do always help out on the microphone, as you know, commentating the final, the Prezzo, and got home, slap up China. Well, celebrated with the Chinese over there at South Point, Chinese at Maddo, pretty good there. Tucked into a little, I think it was a satay chicken with a bit of rice and I had the senchoi bear and then I had a little lie down and off the night shift, mate. But that's it. I've got off the night shift train on the afternoon shift this afternoon and I snuck down the train, as I said earlier. Look, the boys are a little bit subdued down there. They've got to try and stay positive. At the end of the day, they've got a job to do week in, week out. And I was lucky enough to speak to Jacob Gaygai. I'll put that interview up separately at some stage tonight or tomorrow. So have a listen to that one. Just talking a little bit about his journey coming from Mackay in North Queensland, young boy, and a little bit about surrounding his debut. And he speaks about the buy of the year last year in the New South Wales Cup and really talks this bloke up. You'll have to have a listen to that one to see who it is, Brendo. So keep an eye out for that one, Brendan.
Yeah, definitely, mate.
He's a nice guy, obviously the younger brother of Dane Gaygai. Look, that might be it for another edition of Rabbitohs Radio. Thank you for joining us, Brendan, and up the mighty Rabbitohs.
Go the Rabbits, chaps. Let's go.
We would like to thank our valued sponsors here at Rabbitohs Radio Podcast. Daryl Lee, The Juniors, NG Farrow Real Estate, Blast Pit, Ramos Bricklaying, Bunnaby Water, Adam Sampson Finance, Oz Snow, and Site Pizza.